Hello, and welcome to the Atheist Podcast. If you want to have an open and honest discussion where your opinion will not be judged, you have come to the right place. I'm Jonathan, and we will be discussing beliefs, non-beliefs, and any questions dealing with religions. My co-hosts are George, John, along with our intrepid producer, Robert. And we are the Atheist Podcast. And tonight, dear listeners, I have a special treat for you. I have Cash from Atheist on Air. Cash, how are you doing tonight?
Man, I am so glad to be here. It's been a while since I've been on the air, and I was excited to hear from you.
You guys, the rest of you listeners that haven't listened to Atheist on Air, Cash is the founder and host and emirate, if you will, of, like I said, Atheist on Air. So to have him on the air after, what, a month, Cash? 2 months?
What, that I've been off?
Yeah, that off, you've been off
here. I've been off since January.
Okay, so you guys are going to have a treat tonight. It gets a little bit more saucy than normal, but Cash has promised me he'll do his best to try to self-edit as much as possible, but who knows? We may hear a beep or a boop every now and then.
I will do my best. I promise.
So, Cash, well, I personally know a lot about you. Tell us, what's your story? What brought you to where you're at today?
In a nutshell, grew up Mormon. Fundamentalist Mormon, not one of the Mormons that have 180 wives, not that that wouldn't be out of the scope, but the main Mormon church.
So not one of the fun ones.
Not one of the fun ones, right. Not one of the ones that abused women, but still plenty misogynistic enough by themselves. Then raised Mormon, went to seminary 4 years. As an adult, went sporadically, started going to other churches, and liked a lot of the stuff about Baptist or Pentecostals, more of a Babdecostal mix. So I enjoyed that. I was always a Christian. I still paid my tithes to the Mormons because I believed they were the one true church. I just didn't get as much joy from going as I thought I needed. I like a little more entertainment, and Pentecostals are a lot more entertaining. So I started going to Pentecostal. My wife, who was already Babdecostal, we went to church and for years. And one day on the way home from church, I had been asked to teach or preach for several Sundays and Wednesday nights, and I enjoyed it. So on the way home, as luck would have it, God sent me a message, and while I'm driving, and said, "Hey, you need to be an evangelist." Well, because I have this this blur, there's no real, it's gray area between normal Protestantism and Mormonism. I had to get rid of that. I had to separate the two. You can't really go talk about Joseph Smith and the golden plates, you know, while you're preaching at the Baptist church. So what I did is I decided I was going to read the Bible and take a lot of notes so that I would alleviate any of the mixed stuff that I had grown up with, because the Mormons use a Book of Mormon, they use a Doctrine and Covenants, they use a Pearl of Great Price, and the King James Version. But you don't know from whence came, because the preacher just tells you stuff, and they don't care where it came from. It's just out of one of those books. So I decided I was going to read the Bible. I did. And I was depressed. And so I decided I needed to read it again, but this time pray and fast more. So I did it the second time. And by the end of that, it was a 3-year journey. I was an atheist.
So you said you went to seminary. What is Mormon seminary like? That's got to be just outrageously weird.
It's almost a requirement of the teens, high school age. Once you get to ninth grade, you have to go to seminary each morning prior to school. It's just enough to get a daily dose of Jesus before you head off to class. And that way, if you happen to see, tight jeans, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And so back then girls wore the, the jeans, and that would put thoughts in your mind, along, that and the devil. And so you got this daily dose of Jesus. Well, it's more than just you go in and sing Kumbaya. You would go in for an hour prior to school, typically from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. every morning, 5 days a week for 4 years. And you would learn the Bible step by step, then the Book of Mormon step by step, then the Pearl of Great Price and Doctrine and Covenants. It's a 4-year plan.
It's really weird because I probably have a lot more familiarity thanks to Bryce Blankenagel and David Michael about what Mormonism is. I'm assuming whenever you say you get your daily dose of Jesus, it's not Jesus juice that you're talking about, which means not masturbating.
Well, no, you got it all. You got it all. You were taught it all. Not to masturbate, not to even have thoughts. Once a month in the Mormon church, you were required to go in and see the bishop. The bishop is the preacher. You would go see him, and it was alone. It wasn't like you had an audience. And he would go, okay, have you had any bad thoughts? Like, have you had any thoughts that Jesus would not be proud of? You'll need to tell me, because Jesus has already told me. And so you go, yeah, I saw this girl at school and I thought about, wonder what she looks like without her pants on. And so that type of stuff, then they would punish you. They'd give you some type of reprimand for that. And it was more than, I kind of wish I had been Catholic, because, a couple Hail Marys and Our Fathers and you're good to go. But I didn't have that. I had, okay, you can't go to the function this Wednesday. And you can't participate in church next Sunday.
See, I was about to make that comparison between Catholicism and Mormonism. I can't say the only difference between it is, at least in Catholicism, you have that screen. You don't have to be standing right in front of someone, even though they may know you, but that minimum of anonymity,
Right. Right. So, but the problem is as a youth, they always told your parents.
Yeah.
So you really never got out of it.
So
even
get,
though they told
you
they're not
going to
tell your parents. Do what?
You get punished twice. Essentially.
Well, my dad didn't really punish me for those things other than maybe, condemn me further, and go, listen, if you're having bad thoughts about women, what you need to do is imagine them with, this is no shit. This is actually what he said. Imagine them with, like feces on them.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't be attracted. Well, all that did is just create a whole bunch of different types of perversions for myself. I'm just kidding.
German shy to videos.
Yeah. So I don't know that I got an extra dose of punishment for it, but I did get, a talking to.
Now I know that you do have an assorted versions of different types of Christianity that you have believed in. Would you care to speak about any of that and the conflicts, cognitive dissonance, anything like that?
Well, I separated it pretty clearly. I guess you could say it was cognitive dissonance. I always knew, because I was raised that way, that the Mormon church was the one true church that had the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But as I said earlier, I enjoyed the more fun churches, the churches that rolled in the aisle stuff, snake handling, where the preacher, lengthened a guy's leg one night, that kind of stuff, did healings right on the spot. Who's got a headache? Okay, take two of these. Let me pray for you. In 2 weeks, I promise the headache's gone kind of stuff. And I enjoyed it. I ate it up. I liked the more entertaining church, not the big band style, not where they're singing rock music, but the old country gospel, hillbilly gospel.
You know, I would love to be able, and I normally, whenever we're talking to John, who is our apologist, our Christian apologist, if I were to see a leg grow 2 inches, I think I might reconsider my beliefs and that kind of stuff, but I've never seen it before.
Well, I saw it with my own eyes.
Oh, did you? You saw what grew 2 inches?
His leg grew. I knew the guy. His name was Randy.
Well, how did that happen?
And he always had a shorter leg, and he always wore a whatever they call them in a shoe, some kind of thing that bolstered him up.
Now.
And so the preacher said, "Who wants to come forth?" And Randy does. And Randy, you know, Randy had been going to church there for years. And so the preacher took off his shoes and showed everybody, let him walk around, and he's hobbling, you know, because it's a good inch and a half, 2 inches difference. Well, then he puts his shoes back on and lays him down in the chair. And then he ends up taking him out of the chair and laying him on the floor. And he prays and he anoints him, his head with oil, and he pulls on his leg, and Jesus healed his leg. And
so he pulled on his leg.
Well, no, what he did really, and I learned this later, is he actually, to show the audience, which was only about 45, 60 people, something like that. It wasn't like a huge mega church, but he pulls the heel of the shoe forward.
Okay. I got it.
Well, nobody notices. You're all enthusiastic. You're all this. You're all. And James Randi is the one that I looked up and saw the shoe pulling trick.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Because I did have an issue when I left Christianity, left religion altogether. I had a problem with these miracles I had witnessed, you know, and I needed to, you know, round that square peg. I needed to figure out how that stuff happened if there was no God.
No.
And so that's when I started researching skepticism. I didn't even know what skepticism. What I was doing is just researching, and then it made me more skeptical.
Well, if you wouldn't mind speaking a little bit more about, and this is, I don't want to get too personal about it. What weird hang-ups did Mormonism give you?
The worst is a horrible idea or ideology about sex. And I'm fairly old now, and I still have some hang-ups. And it wasn't till I read, and you know, I want you to know I'm not being paid to say this, but it wasn't until I read Sex and God by Dr. Daryl Ray.
Yeah, that I love Dr. Daryl Ray. I love that guy.
That I realized that it wasn't wrong. But I still have these hang-ups because as a young child, you're ingrained with, oh, you don't think about a woman. If you think about women in a sexual way, you've already committed adultery. Well, here I am at 12 years old committing adultery like crazy. Okay, I'd go to school, commit adultery with my teachers and half the girls in the class. And then I lived on a farm, so some of the goats even probably I committed adultery with. I'm just kidding. But the I have to tell people that because I don't know who your audience is and whether they'll go, oh, my gosh, this guy needs to be shot.
No, trust me. We're good.
I did have hang-ups. I had hang-ups with oral sex. I had hang-ups with any type of sex that wasn't missionary position. We were taught in our teens that that was the only God-approved way to have sex. So even to this day, I have to overcome these ideas in my head that make me feel guilt when there shouldn't be any.
Well, it sounds like they kind were like just pretty much any sex whatsoever was demonized, it seemed like. You know, I mean, it was just whatever feels good and feels natural. that was just wrong. That's just wrong. You're not supposed to do that.
Exactly. But that's what created, it created other issues. It created issue. I didn't masturbate until I was almost 18.
I'm sorry.
And never even thought about trying it because I knew that that would like summon demons into our house. My dad used demons and the devil as the, oh, how would you like it if your little sister gets possessed by demons because you listened to the Michael Jackson CD? Not CD, the LP. One day he found me, my friend had loaned me the Thriller LP, the big LP, and record. And I'm playing it with my door locked. My dad knocks the door off the hinges, comes and shatters the record, busts the record player, and then goes on this rant about how I've invited Satan into our home now. And, oh, I felt like crap. I bought it all. I bought it all, whole stock. And so, yes, there's damage that was done there. Not intentionally. My parents didn't intentionally do it, but I expect more from thinking adults. But the problem is with most people in religion, they either are there because it's just cool, you know, it's what society does, or they're there cognitive dissonance, and they have foregone logic and reason so that they can maintain faith. I've argued several times, even with some well-known pastors, that faith is not required anywhere else in life but religion. So it's a crappy thing to do, and part of me's mad at my parents. My dad's a marine biologist who doesn't believe in evolution.
That's got to be hard to reconcile in his mind.
Well, I say he's a marine biologist. He has a degree.
Okay.
But he doesn't work in marine biology. But that was his major. And then he went to work in the field, and he did work in the field for years. But he's a Rush Limbaugh Fox News guy now. And he's the typical conservative, we're ruining America, Christian.
And feeding off of that a little bit, I know that you in the past, whenever we had the guy that killed the two Muslims, I can't remember off the top of my head. And then we had the guy that killed the two reporters. You had a rant before about, you know, mental illness and gun control and all this other stuff, you know, the things that we normally harp on and that, you know, that sort of thing. What, I mean, and I just saw the other day that there was a Blaze article that said, what was it, that we had to have God in our corner to be able to, you know, stop gun violence. Now, I'm going to say it's stupid. Do you have a take on it?
What?
Do we need to worry about, you know, medicating mentally ill people?
Well, no. My opinion on guns is I understand that there's a deep-seated desire for whatever fucking reason on a gun, but I, at 38 years old, gave up my guns. I have no desire anymore to hunt. None. And I damn sure didn't want to, and cocky redneck, and who would go around and, oh, I'll tell you what that boy needs right there now, and I'll sit there. If my daughter's come home with some idiot honks his horn, I'm going to go out there with my shotgun. I was that kind of dad. And it changed for me. Everything changed. All of a sudden, and I can't even, like, tell you how that worked, but the world became my family. I no longer saw brown people as, oh, we need to go kill them or convert them. It's their choice. You know, I changed. Gun control, I have a problem with the fact that 71 people die, I think is the number, 71 a day on average in America from gun violence. I have a problem with that. I see no reason for us to have guns. Now, if you have some sportsmen who want to have guns, I think it should be handled like people who want to race cars. We have a racetrack, and that's where you go, and you race your car. But you don't own guns. And people say, well, you'll never stop them from owning guns. Criminals will still find a way to get guns. Well, no, Australia's proven you wrong.
Yes, they have.
Australia proved that wrong. So, but I'm all for protecting the majority, even at the cost of some of the freedoms we think we were granted. I mean, why do we have amendments to the Constitution? Because we change stuff. So we don't need, you know, they go, well, that's one of our constitutional rights. Well, yes, so was slavery. But we changed.
Yes, we did. And the point that I would like to make is I was actually in the Marines at one time. What is a Marine? A rifleman first. You know what? I would not be allowed, if I had a mental illness or I had a problem, they would not have let me touch an M4 or an M16. They wouldn't have let me have touched it, you know. Plus, on top of that, every single year I had to go show that I knew how to safely operate an M4 and an M16. And then I had to show that I actually knew how to use the damn thing from 200, 400, and 600 yards out. That's how is, if it's good for the Marines, why is it wrong for us to ask that of anybody else? You know?
I'm with you. I believe the access is too, there's too much access to guns. We don't need guns. These people that tell me that, oh, no, what if that we have a right to have our guns because if we need to take over the government, that's
right.
At this point, you moron, you couldn't take over the government if you wanted to. You could gather every redneck from North Carolina all the way through Texas and Idaho and maybe South Dakota and who has a gun, and you aren't going to be able to even put a dent in the U.S. military. Yeah, there's no way. I mean, you're just done for. So back when everybody had a musket, okay, yeah, you might have been able to do something. But now they got drones, satellites, they can watch you. You know, we don't need guns. The citizen doesn't need guns. If there are people who want to hunt or they want to, they should have to go through some kind of proficiency deal, psychological evaluation, just like the military requires. And that would resolve some of it. That would resolve, well, probably most of it, but it would resolve. And people are I know there'd be people listening, if you have a Christian audience at all, they're going to be, especially a conservative Christian, they're going to go, well, that ain't going to stop it. The criminal's still going to get a gun. Well, you're pretending like a gun is still at the pawn shop, and it ain't. And see, in Australia, you know, you go try to buy a 9mm on the black market, and it's $22,000. So where's Bubba, who lives in the trailer park in Alabama, who's got three women knocked up, and he doesn't know where his next meal's coming from? Where's he going to get that gun? He ain't going to get it.
Even if he did, whenever you... The only time you're actually going to use a weapon in anger is whenever you're angry. And if you're angry and you're mentally stable, you're probably not going to use the weapon in the first place. You know, I don't own a weapon, but even if I did, my wife and I just this afternoon got into an argument. You know what I didn't think of is, wow, I really need to go buy a 9mm and just kill her. You know, no, that's just not the way that it works, you know.
I've never considered the same. I've never considered I'm going to take my gun and go kill somebody or hurt somebody. There's always other methods. Now, I can't say that I wouldn't, you know, didn't want to go beat the crap out of somebody, but I never. And nowadays, I don't even want to do that. One, I'm a full-time, avid, professional smoker. And so I don't even have the energy or the breath to fight you. And if I can't kick in 3 seconds, I'm screwed. So
I actually have to say that I've been almost a year not smoking.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir. But you know what the weird thing is, though? Even though, like I said, I wouldn't consider nowadays actually trying to go and actively try to shoot people, I've actually had to actively try to shoot people. I've been deployed to Iraq. I've had to, I can't say what happened, but I've had to actually shoot at people, and they stopped shooting at me because of my actions. Am I proud of that? No. But am I proud that I actually came home to my family? I'm very proud of that.
She went to Afghanistan and to the forwarding operating base coast for 13 months. And now she didn't have to go into the field, but she was on base the whole time. But her best friend, who went to high school with her and went over there with her and was stationed with her in coast, she didn't make it back home. She got killed, sniped right off the base from the Afghan mountains. So is it the Afghan mountains, the Pakistan mountains? Pakistan mountains. The Pakistan, Pakistan Mountains is right there at coast. And so she was sniped 3 days before they came home. I don't know that, the whole military thing's a whole nother subject. I'm thankful to people like you who were willing to do what it took and follow the orders, even though I don't believe we should be over there. Has nothing to do or lessens the value and the commendation that y'all should receive. Now, the biggest problem I have with the military is the fact that we always have enough money to go to war, but we don't have enough money to take care of our veterans when they come home.
Along with that, we don't have enough money to be able to fund our national aeronautic space, NASA. We don't want to have enough money to be able to fund NASA. I'm going to try to steer it away in a little bit.
Education. Or education.
Or education.
Right.
You know, that's, I mean how much.
How do we have homelessness in America?
Go ahead.
How do we have homelessness in America?
Yeah.
How do we have kids who only eat, their only meals are at school?
And again, coming from a military person, and just to put this out there, I was literally barely above the poverty line in the military. How is that a thing? I mean, come on.
No, it isn't. It isn't when our Congress gets $174,000 a year, our Congress, each of them, plus they get that forever. After they serve 4 years, they get it forever. Can you imagine if we swap that out and we told the Congress, listen, you get to work for 4 years, but that's over. Then you're done. And there is no benefits other than the little bit of medical benefits and stuff that you get afterwards. But my daughter just got out after 5 years. July made her fifth year, and she got out. Huh? She Army.
Army, okay.
Yeah, and she was Mike 88, which is military driving. So she did runs in Afghanistan, but she went while she was there. They switched her. She was Mike 88, but she ended up doing like a paperwork shuffler.
Yeah. Well, just to shift the subject to something lighter, how weird was Joseph Smith? I just want to shift it to something else.
Joseph Smith but he was also intelligent.
Yeah.
Now the Mormons will give you the speech that here was this illiterate farm boy and just barely making, just wanted to be right with Jesus and went out in the woods and talked to Jesus, and Jesus came to him, just came right out of the sky and landed right there in the woods, the grove, they call it, of trees. So, okay. Joseph Smith, we now have found so much evidence, real evidence, on Joseph Smith that, and the Mormon Church has had to change even their that even the opening to the Book of Mormon, they had to rewrite 10 years ago because of the findings that they found in Missouri in a library basement, where Joseph Smith, he was a con man, and they had to finagle the writings a bit so that they could make it match up with history instead of making up their own history.
Now, just
some misogynist piece of crap.
Just so a few of the whoever our listeners are that don't know anything about Mormonism, can you explain the origin story just a little bit?
Yeah. Young guy, 13, 14 years old, depending on which story you read, because there's four of them. There's four actual origin stories, but they're all similar, but they're different enough that it makes a difference.
So it's like the difference between, you know, Mark, Matthew, and
Luke and John. Yeah. Yes. So Mormons don't recognize the difference, but anybody with three brains together, no. So basically the story goes that he was just this poor farm boy, needed to, him and his dad were, they used a seer stone to make money. So they made money. The Mormon story is that they farmed. They didn't farm. They went around upstate New York and they sold their services to other farmers who needed to find gold or treasures on their property. And they had this magic stone that they could put in a hat, stick their head in the hat, and it would help them find the magic, the treasure in their thing. But there are demons that can sometimes move the treasure on you. And so depending on how worthy you are, it's not the fault of Joseph Smith or his father if you paid them and they didn't find the treasure because you weren't righteous enough for the demons got there before you did. So they had an out either way. They ended up, you know, pleading guilty in court of law.
Joseph Smith was a criminal?
Yeah, two felony charges.
Oh, wow.
He was convicted. And so the bottom line is he's this young boy wants to, he's got family that are, if you go to the LDS.org website, you can watch the story that they tell you. And it's interesting. It's all just spiritual and fun. And you go, oh, look at this cute little farm boy. He's working in the wheat. And all of a sudden he just can't, he's confused because his uncle's a preacher and his granddad's a preacher and his other uncle's a preacher and they all preach different stuff. And how can we know which church to go to? And so he goes into the woods and prays and Jesus and God. Now this is where the story gets interesting because depending on which version he told, sometimes there's three people there. Sometimes there's two, sometimes there's one and sometimes there's none. It's just light. So bottom line is Joseph Smith did acid and set it on a creek bank and saw stuff and wrote the story multiple times about how that worked. But he talked to God. God said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. And Jesus said, listen. I'm glad you came into the woods. We've been waiting forever because, you know, we took away the gospel from the earth 2,000 years ago. When they killed Jesus, we didn't want to save any of those people, the billions of people that came over the last 2 billion years, or 2,000 years, so 2 millennia. So we're going to restore the original gospel on the earth. You'll get a call later. So Joseph Smith goes home, and later this angel, Moroni, comes into his room and goes, hey, wake up, Joseph. Good news. I got some books. They're golden. And they were written by this awesome, awesome guy that was the first Indian on America. It's an account.
An Indian.
Yeah, that's how they explain it with the Indians. Oh. When you have a late arriving religion in the 1830s, I mean, that's fairly late arriving. And you have, in the same year, you have Jehovah's Witnesses came to be. You have several religions came out in the in a five-year period there in the 1830s.
Seventh-day Adventists.
Because it was like a... You have several, yeah. It was crazy, and they all came out of New York. So all these religions came out. Everybody's going crazy. Everybody's fighting for the other person's dollar. And so Joseph Smith says, okay, I'll wait till the angel comes back and tells me where these plates are. Angel comes back and says, listen, the plates are over here, but you can't have them. Here's what you got to do. You'll actually just stick your head in that hat that you already have and that stone you already have, and you'll be able to read them, like, vicariously, like from a distance.
Wasn't there a frog or something that happened in the meantime?
Salamander.
Oh, salamander, I'm sorry. An amphibian, about that?
From my understanding, the salamander story was a fake by a Mormon who was trying to get rich off the Mormons. He knew that he figured out that the Mormons were full of crap. So what he did is he called the prophet of the church in the 70s, 60s or 70s, and said, hey, I have copies of some letters of Joseph Smith. And he didn't actually see personages in the woods. He didn't see in the grove of trees God. He talked to a white salamander. So he coined those letters, salamander letters. Well, it turns out he wrote those letters. They were fakes. But the Mormon church actually paid him for them because they didn't want him out. Because they were scared that it was the truth. Because Joseph Smith could have done that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to slander Joseph Smith. yeah. now, how...
He's a man of God.
Yeah. bullshit.
For the fucking man.
Now, for our listeners that don't know, again, don't know anything about Mormonism, how did he translate them? And what did he translate these plates from? I mean, apparently he got them from somewhere and they were something, and apparently he had to translate them somehow. So, that's some weird stuff.
He used that rock, and the same rock he already had, magic rock. You know, the Mormon church.
This isn't the same rock. This is not the same rock, though, right?
No, this is the same rock they released the other day.
Oh, is it? So it's not Urim and Thummim?
No. That's it's called the Urim and Thummim. And that's the old story, but the Mormon church has caught some flack because they created that Urim and Thummim. That was a Mormon creation later, so that they didn't have to say a rock and a hat.
No.
But it turns out there is no Urim and Thummim. There's just a rock and a hat.
I'm sorry to interrupt. There actually is a Urim and Thummim, but it's in Jewish mythology.
There is. Yeah. There is. But what I'm saying is the Mormon church took that because they didn't want to tell people, because Joseph wrote a rock and a hat. That's what his original writings are. But they didn't want to tell the Mormon church that. Well, once that, you know, because of the age of the internet, people had access to this stuff. And so they found out, oh, he didn't have a Urim and Thummim. He had a rock and a hat. So the Mormon church just released, we have a rock. And it's the rock he used to translate the golden plates.
Hey, I'll be honest. Whenever I saw those photos, actually pretty rock, you know. I mean, it is a very beautiful rock.
I posted one on my Facebook page that looks even better than that one.
Yeah, I saw that the other day.
Mine's not magic. I stuck it in my cowboy hat 3 or 4 times, and it still didn't work.
So you weren't able to find some magic golden plates in the hills?
No, and I couldn't find gold hidden in any hills or anything. But it's
because
the leper
thing. That's all it is.
Yeah, demon leprechaun steal the stuff before I can get there.
So, Cash, what else do you got going on? I mean, you know, you've got a bunch of stuff. I know you're a busy guy. I mean, you want to pimp anything? You know, I'm not trying to wind it up, but
I'm obviously, and I know you know, but I have a business, and I that requires a lot of my time, and working for yourself is unique because you work your butt off so that you can make almost what you'd make if you just went and worked for someone else. And so it's kind of a, you know, it just makes you feel better, I guess, ego wise for me to be able to go, yeah, I got my own company, but there's no way to run a company by yourself. And so you have employees, you have people, and pretty soon you're working more and making less than if, I mean, I could go get a job probably at Holiday Inn and make what I make now. But you have commitments you've made to people, so you have to go, you have to do it. And especially when you have employees, and I'm thankful. So I work and I love life. I try to read as much as possible. I try to learn as much as possible. I feel like I'm behind because I was 38 when I figured this stuff out, and I was angry. I'm still angry. I'm one of those butthole atheists. See, I even had to think.
Good job.
A word with another word, and it wasn't coming to me. Uh-huh. So
militant, a-hole.
Yeah, I'm anti-theism, not anti-theist. Anti-theism. I hate religion. I hate what it does to good people. People that would be normally like you and I. People that would have hearts and people that would be kind. People that would love humanity. Instead of being on Fox News going, yes, we need to go to Iran next and North Korea because they're brown. And we all know Jesus doesn't like brown people. Look at him in the pictures. He's white. Which is probably amazing, you know, to have a white guy in the Middle East back in 2,000 years ago. And to find people named Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John there would have been a trick.
Uh-huh.
So I love it all. I love it all. I do get angry with American, the Christian force here in America. And they've managed to call it as though they're being picked on. And so, yeah, I don't have anything to plug, though, other than your show and Atheist on Air. I haven't been on there. I've been in there once in the last 8 months, or 9 months. But I love Professor Stephen and Rachel. And Rachel's retarded boyfriend. All of them. I like them. And I think they're doing a great job.
How about this? Since you were gracious enough to come on to my show and open up, how about I open up to you a little bit? Let me tell you a little story I had. Actually, Pastor Jay had a story, or he had a prayer to say for my grandmother back in December, back just before Christmas. My grandmother passed away. She was almost 100 years old. And she fell. She broke her hip. And at almost 100 years old, that's not a good thing. So 2 weeks after that, about 2 weeks before Christmas, she actually passed away. So I had to travel down to Florida, which is where my family is from. You kind of already know the story, but I had to travel down there, and I'm normally the rock that my family's emotional tides have to dash against. So we're down there, and we're doing the whole Southern Baptist thing, and then we go to the wake, and I'm sitting there at the wake, holding my mom, holding my sister, not 4 feet away from my grandmother's body. Needless to say, I'm a little bit upset, kind of weird as it is, as you will. And then one of my family members decides that's the perfect time to talk about atheism. I had three choices. I could either lock my mind away or comfort my mom and my sister, or not just break down in front of everyone. Now, guess which of the two choices that I actually made. Now, to the listeners that will be listening to this later on, this drove me to the brink of madness. Literally, like to the point of suicidal tendencies, wanting to kill myself. Now, that's, we always talk about as atheists, what's the harm? That's the harm. You know. Yep. Sorry, I'm opening up a little bit to you, Cash, because you don't know me as well as I know you, but I know that I can open up to you. So, yeah, that guys, that's the harm. That's the harm that religion can bring to someone. And it hurt me. It almost cost me my marriage. I'll put it that way.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Well, let's shake it off, you know, take a stretch to the left, take a stretch to the right.
Drink the bourbon.
Yeah, let's take a, well, how about a drink of a beer? All right. Make a joke. Come on. Do something, Cash. You're funny as hell.
Oh, my gosh. You crippled me when I came on and you said, you can't cuss. And I went, oh, okay. Are you a Christian now?
No.
No, I don't know what to say. You just
I'm
took
sorry.
Me to a.
Yeah, I know I took the wind out
took
of the sails.
The wind out of my sails.
Sorry.
Supposed to be the wind beneath my wings, and now you're. Oh my gosh. So how long have you been doing the podcast now?
We've been doing it for about a month now. It's the Atheist Podcast, that's the, and then parenthetical, a, you know, two parentheses, Theist Podcast. The whole idea, which some of the listeners already know about, is we read Bible scriptures. I think we already covered this at the beginning of it, but, you know, we read Bible scriptures. I have an atheist, a theist, and then myself, and then we talk about it from there. You know, and then we debate, and I moderate between the two. So we try to have, you know, a little bit more lighthearted conversations. So tell us about Atheists on Air. I know you've got a bunch to say about that. I know you don't do it so much anymore, but...
I love it. It's therapy for me, and it was probably more for my own self than it was for others. But I ended up, you know, you fall in love with people, and you get to know people that are amazing people, and then you have people that come in and volunteer and help out with the podcast, like Stephanie, and you go, wow. Somebody that will take time out of their busy life. She's got young children, a husband, a life, job full time, and she's willing to do this stuff. Massive amount of respect for these types of people. Plus, I got to hear other views, other people's stories, which, you know, not that you want to hear that somebody else had it rougher than you, but it makes yours more palatable, where you can go, oh, okay, so I'm not alone here. Not that you want anybody to be with you through pain, but it does help. The ego side of me goes, yes, I'm glad to know that there's some people that have felt the pain. And apparently that resonated with thousands of people because it has a lot of downloads. Atheist on Air, because of work and because of life in general, I've got 4 grandkids now, 2 in the last 4 weeks and, or 2 more in the last 4 weeks.
You're an old man.
Yeah, I am. And I have, you know, your kids get, you think, okay, well, I can't wait till my kids are adults and then I don't have to deal with all these problems. No, they're the problem with adult children is you end up with problems you can't fix for them.
They're, you know, adult, I can fix problems it that you can't deal with.
Right, they're adult sized problems. And so what you get is heartache and pain. And my kids, I've been fortunate. You know, I've got college grads. I've got a daughter that just got out of the military who did fantastic, just starts college October 8th. And you go, wow, not that I did a good job. I got lucky, I believe, because if anybody could be confused about parenting skills, it would be my kids, because I went from this conservative nut job to a more lax, liberal, oh, are you out of condoms? I'm going to start out ordering those on Amazon on a monthly ship thing, you know, and not literally, but you see what I'm saying. I was more liberal with the whole concept. No more did they have to go to church, no more. And my kids got to be themselves. So I can't complain, but life got in the way of the podcast was requiring a lot of time. And apparently my wife says I'm OCD. I haven't been like diagnosed, but, I would spend days, literally a day's worth of time for going my real job, hurting my income, you know, potentially risking the employment of my employees so that I could do write scripts and rewrite it and edit this. And it was just, so if you're out there listening to a podcast, just know there is a butt ton load of time that goes into a podcast and they are a labor of love. And you should support it. If you like, even if it's a quarter a month, commit to something and do it. And if it's a dollar, do a dollar. If it's $100, do $100. I was fortunate. We had some great freaking listeners. And it helped me out. But it doesn't help me pay my employees who I was risking their livelihoods because I was foregoing work. Yeah, I could make it, but I couldn't make it for me and them. And so I had to change things, and that's what I did. I had to step back for a while.
And I will personally state this. The reason why Cash is on tonight is because of the absolute professionalism and the production value of all of the episodes that he put out. It's, oh, goodness. I can't expound upon it enough. Go to the website, aoafm.fm, and just listen. Just go back and scroll. You know, you're going to meet some old characters. You're going to meet some new characters. There was love. There's always Pastor Jay. Just go back and listen. And if you don't, I mean, if you can't do anything, that's fine. For me, I'm like Cash, you know, it's just a labor of love for me to make these podcasts, but it does make a difference, you know. And there's a lot of good content there. And I know you can't state it enough also, Cash, that there's just a good God, in quotation marks, just so much content's there. I mean, you were doing what, 3-4 hour episodes there? you know?
Yeah, we were doing 4-hour episodes once a week, and then we went, I just couldn't keep up with it. And then we went to, I believe, monthly. And then I couldn't even keep up with the monthly because it would take me a week to do a literal week, you know, a 40-hour work week to create a 4-hour podcast live. Not that a lot of it was impromptu, but you had to have a structure. And you had Pastor Roy, and you had this whole thing.
Pastor Jay, I'm sorry. Pastor Roy.
Oh, no. No, Pastor Jay's on there now.
Yeah, now he is.
So there's some great stuff. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I miss it in so many ways. I just can't do it yet. And once I can, I will, you know, if they'll let me back on.
Oh, I don't think that's going to be a big problem. Once you get everything situated and, you know, you get back in the right, you know, right state of mind and, you know, get your finances, whatever you've got going on. I don't want to make any assumptions, but I don't think it's going to be a big problem for you to get back on. I think I can
They've offered me to come back on anytime. I was mostly just being facetious, but I am humbly facetious. I guess that's almost self-aggrandizing at that point. But I am thankful that there were people like Professor Stephen who took it over, and Rachel has been huge. Pastor Jay, big deal. That's a lot of work. And most people don't realize that. You take somebody like No Illusions, who does the Scathing Atheist podcast, lots and lots of work, Cognitive Dissonance podcast.
Which, by the way, No Illusions is actually the dude's name. His name is literally Noah Illusions. If you haven't listened to him, go through the Scathing Atheist.
The Scathing Atheist is fantastic. It's very well edited. Lots of work that goes into that. Hours and hours and hours, and you don't miss a beat. I heavily edited so that you get the most bang for your buck. Where ours was kind of a run on for 4 hours, and you got some boring parts because we hadn't scripted it or didn't have a topic, or we got sidetracked with something else, or I got too drunk during it or something. But if there's a value in it at all, there was for me. I can't. It's therapeutic for me.
Now
it's not as good as Sodge and a Happy Ending, but it was therapeutic nevertheless.
Now, I wouldn't feel bad, and again, I have to plug him, because he's how I found you in the first place, Cash, Paul, with the Chronify Me. I have to plug him, because if it wasn't, again, like I said, if it wasn't for him and Pastor Roy on doing a plug there on Chronify Me, I would have never found one of the best friends in my entire life. So,
oh, yeah. There's so many good ones. Adam Reeks, podcast, it is unbelievably well done. Bryce Blakenagel, the Cognitive Dissonance guys are fantastic. David Michael, fantastic podcast and a sexy freaking voice.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
Cow.
I wish I could speak that deeply.
Yeah, I mean, just brilliant voice. Just easy to listen to. So there's so many good podcasters out there. I still have my favorite go-to podcast, you know, it's probably a bias. It's like with the first time you have ice cream and you had Rocky Road. Well, now Rocky Road's your favorite. Doesn't matter what they come out with, Rocky Road's my favorite because nothing else has marshmallows in it. So kiss my butt. So I would say that my favorite is Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, because it's one of the first ones I found, and Atheist Experience. But Scathing Atheist, all the ones we've already mentioned are ones I listen to. Bobby Carey's podcast is fantastic.
You know, just down to earth podcast, Barroom Atheist, another great podcast. But there's no way you can, unless you're wealthy, there's no way you can listen to them all. There's no way.
I love that we, as we're wrapping up, we're, you know, fanboying, even though I'm fanboying over you, we're fanboying over things that we all love. I mean, you just mentioned the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. Oh my goodness. How much squee do I have that whenever I went to Nexus, I've been to Nexus for the last couple of years. I met Steve Novella. I've met all of them. I haven't met Santa Cara Maria yet. Hopefully this next Nexus she'll be there, but I've met every one of them. I even met the unknown Novella, which is Joe Novella, and he's actually cooler than Steve is. he's believe it or not, he's the twin brother of Bob Novella. They're just such really cool people. I mean, just I'm sorry, I was about to say something I didn't believe in. They're such good, unbelievable people. So if anybody, since we're fanboying, if you haven't listened to The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, listen to The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe.
Yeah, you can't beat that, because even a non-Christian can listen to that and not be offended.
Yeah.
Because it's rare that they go off on a religious tangent. They are very, that is a very popular podcast. I mean, several hundred thousand downloads a
month.
The
only time whenever they go off into a religious tangent is whenever the religious tangent goes into the thing that hurts someone.
Right.
So,
it's rare. It's rare. Most of their stuff has to do with skepticism. And if you apply the stuff that you'd learn there, you just become a better human being. You never quit learning. First podcast I listen to each week is SGU. The second podcast I listen to each week is Atheist Experience. And the Atheist Experience is only because it was the first one I found. And it is fantastic. Matt Dillahunty, you know, is just a brilliant mind, and the entire staff. Tracy Harris is my favorite on there. Jen Peoples, brilliant minds. And so I would encourage you to listen to those. If you've never heard of them, you won't be offended. And I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, Cash, I certainly appreciate it. We're running up on an hour now, and I promised you I'd only take up that much of your time on air. You sure there's nothing other than AOA that you'd like to promote or anything at all? I mean,
I don't have anything to promote. You know, I'm not a crafter, so I'm not like making blankets I could sell. so if I did, I would. If marijuana becomes legal in my state, I'll start growing marijuana. I can tell you that.
Go green.
I don't even smoke it, but I think it's freaking awesome, and I've hit so much on it that I am all for it. So I would be just tickle pink if they legalized it. But I don't have anything else to promote. Bernie Sanders maybe. But that's political.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you for coming on the Atheist Podcast, Cash. We'll be sure to add all of your links to the show notes. And, again, thank you for showing up.
Hey, thank you a bunch. It was my honor and my pleasure to be here. I appreciate it. I've always liked you, and even though you defriended me or whatever you did on Facebook.
All right. And that's it for tonight, folks. I'd like to thank John, George, and of course, all of you for joining in on the conversation. Please make sure to like us on Facebook. You can find the links to our page and all of the other associated websites in the show notes. We're now live on iTunes. If you like us, please give us a rating, maybe even a good review. That always helps. If you want to support the show and any of the other projects associated with Rationality Unleashed Media, please feel free to donate via our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/rationalityunleashed. Because we post quite a bit of content, please make sure you set a monthly maximum if you don't want to go over a certain budget. If you want to make a one-time donation to RU Media, please use our GoFundMe page at www.gofundme.com/RU Media. Your support helps us with all of the hosting costs, equipment, and all of the other costs associated with producing quality content across platforms. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great night.
Hi, everyone. This is Robert from Rationality Unleashed. This podcast is brought to you by Rationality Unleashed Media. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/rationalityunleashed. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/rationalityunleashed, or support our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/RU Media. We really appreciate your support.